Although still a young man, our guest today already ranks among the top 10 writers in the field of science fiction. Within the past few months, he's had 2 books published, E. Pluribus Unicorn, a collection of short stories, and More Than Human. His name is Theodore Sturgeon, and he's a resident of Congers, New York, where he lives with his wife, his son Robin, a new litter of police pups, and a fabulous tank of tropical fish. You also drive a hot rod truck, don't you, Ted?
Yes, I do, Fleetwood. Next to my wife and Robin, of course, that truck is my pride and joy. It's an ancient panel truck that I have been rebuilding. Outside, it's disgraceful. Inside, from the radiator, literally to the taillight, it's all new. And as time goes on, I add more to it. Now, it already has 50 more horsepower than it had when it was born. It'll have another 50 or 60 before I'm through with it.
This, I don't know about our listeners, but this strikes me as a very strange thing, that a poet, and not just a pseudo or would-be poet, but a recognized poet, should be so handy at building, practically, a hot rod truck. This doesn't fit in with the conventional picture we have of poets.
Now, I've run across that comment before, but in my experience, I've found that most people like musicians and poets and whatnot seem to be pretty good with a monkey wrench or a soldering iron as well. And I think this follows. People like that are generally very much taken up with how things are made and how to make things. And it follows through what they do with their hands as well as what they do with their minds. My own chief interest, as you know, is in science fiction. Science fiction and poetry have this in common, that science and poetry imbue all of our lives, all of our thinking.
Well, in other words, if I could write some poetry, I might be a little handier around the house, huh?
That might follow.
I don't seem to be very good at either, so maybe I'll sit down tonight and see what comes out. I took a poetry course, I remember, once in college. I was never one of these children, you know, who wrote poems, and so I thought, well, something's wrong with me, as is witnessed the fact that I can't build hot rod trucks either. And so I took a poetry writing course. This was supposed to teach me how to write poetry, but you can't learn it in class, I discovered, because I still can't write poetry.
I think that works the same way as the ability to use tools comes up. They say that some people can never learn to use tools, but you can learn to see how it's done.
Well, I have perhaps a greater appreciation of, if nothing else, at least just the mere labor that goes into creating even the smallest, the least type of a poem.
Yes, that is true. The mechanics of poetry are extraordinarily complex. I think that the gear that you have here to put this program out on the air, all those knobs and dials and switches and that great mass of spaghetti behind those panels there, is probably far less complex than some of the internal mechanism of a poem.
I don't doubt it a bit, but I don't understand those wires either. I'm sorry. I just take them for granted.
Well, that would be good radio where you don't see any of the works, and I think that goes for good poetry, too.
Well, tell me, what about your tropical fish? I haven't visited you in Congers, New York, I'm sorry to say. I hope to. These tropical fish were heard about before I even heard about you.
Well, I have in my living room a very large tank. It's 22 gallons, which is a coffee table. And concealed under the overhang of the top of this coffee table is a whole control panel. It controls a whole set of lights of various colors inside the tank itself. It has a device to turn the audio off. My television set has another switch to control the little air pump that goes on and off. I can do all sorts of things just twiddling around amongst those controls.
Well, this is very interesting, but actually I suppose we should talk about your poetry here since this is a poetry program. Essentially, you're a science fiction writer, which immediately provokes the question, what are you doing on a poetry program?
Well, I'm very, very happy to join science and poetry in this respect. As I mentioned before, they do have a lot in common, particularly in their effect on our lives. Like the famous amateur gentleman who realized with great surprise an expert told him that he'd been speaking prose all his life. Mm-hmm. He didn't realize that. We're very much under the influence of poetry. Anybody who has lain back in a railroad train and found himself thinking along with the clicking of the wheels, mm-hmm. is under a poetic influence. You hear children, little girls playing a skip rope, and they have a whole series of little chants all of their own. These things are poetry. The famous wheels of industry, the sound of jet planes and so on are all, in essence, poetry. They are of poetry, and they are what poetry comes from. Science is having its effect on us, on all of us, including that part of us which is poetic.
In other words, you didn't, so to speak, get onto the science fiction bandwagon, although you would rather write poetry. You were writing science fiction before people even started using the terms.
Yes, I was writing science fiction 15 years ago or more.
I haven't had a chance to read any of your longer works. I have before me two beautifully bound books, the two we've mentioned, the More Than Human, which is published by
Farrar, Strauss,
and Young. I mispronounced that before. And your E Pluribus Unicorn, which is published by the same...
Abelard.
By Abelard. And More Than Human comes out in a pocket
Ballantine 35-cent
edition. So if you like beautiful books, I guess you buy the Farrar, Strauss, and Young, and if you want to save money, you buy the other one, huh?
That's right.
Well, the only thing I had a chance to read was this one part of your E Pluribus Unicorn called Bianca's Hands, which I thought was very, very intriguing and very beautifully written besides. How did you ever get such an idea?
That was a most intrusive idea. I wrote Bianca's Hands when I was about 19 years old.
Well, just a minute. Perhaps I'd better mention what the idea is. It's about the beautiful, physically weak, but otherwise expressive hands of... Is she a moron, or...?
Yes, she's an idiot.
Yeah, an idiot. I never do use those terms right either. But which sounds, I'm sure, just on the mere mentioning of it, will strike most people as a very odd subject for a short story, it's actually even a short story, I guess, isn't it?
Yes, well, that was... I suppose poetry as such can be as intrusive almost as a loud noise. This interrupted me in my thinking. Mm-hmm. I had been writing at the age of 19 for long enough to know I could never sell a story like mm-hmm. this. Ultimately, I did, and I'm happy to say it won a prize in England.
Wonderful.
Not here.
Well, we were mentioning poetry terms earlier, and you came across, you threw
yes.
one at me that I'd never heard of
before.
I
wanted to give you an example. This is what I think could be called poetry. It's in the body of the story. I want to stress the fact that this is not set up in lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the prose thing. And it runs like this. He wandered the hours away by the bank of a brook, watching the sun on the face of the chuckling water. A bird came to circle him, flew unafraid through the aura of gladness about him. The delicate tip of a wing brushed his wrist with the touch of the first secret kiss from the hands of Bianca. And it runs on like that until the end of a paragraph. Now, this is purposely cast in a poetic form.
Not the sort of thing one is apt to run into in science fiction, I must say. Ordinarily. You have something else I'd like you to read for us, too.
Oh, yes, the poem from my story, Thunder and Roses. This was a love song within the story. When you gave me your heart, you gave me the world. You gave me the night and the day, and thunder and roses and sweet green grass, the sea and soft wet clay. I drank the dawn from a golden cup, from a silver one, the dark, and the steed I rode was the wild west wind, and my song was the brook and the lark. With thunder I smote the evil of earth, with roses I won the right, with the sea I washed, and with clay I built, and the world was a place of light.
Thanks very much, Ted. Please come back and see us again. You will, I hope.
Thank you, I will.